Trans power. Good afternoon and welcome. We've obviously read the further submission. We've also received and read your legal submissions. Thank you very much for pre-circulating those. You won't need to reread those to us because we've read them. And we've also read the pre-circulated evidence, which you also don't need to read to us because we've read that as well. But you are welcome to use the time available to highlight any key points you'd like to make, or to discuss any additional material that you may have just tabled.
Thank you, sir. So obviously you've read the submissions, but I might just take the opportunity to emphasise some of the key points. So really, I guess the key message is that you've got an obligation to give effect to the National Policy Statement on Electricity Transmission, mm-hmm. and that applies regardless of any submissions
Yep.
on the plan.
Yep.
You'll be aware the Supreme Court decision, King Salmon, talks about what give effect to is, so it's mm-hmm. a pretty strong directive. You've got to implement it. Set out there some of the key policies that Ms. McLeod will refer to. I will highlight one recent High Court decision that held that Policy 10 is relatively prescriptive and a relatively strong directive. Now the reason I'm highlighting that is that, as Ms. McLeod notes, the proposed plan does not control third party activities in close proximity to the national grid. And so it's important, I think, through this process that the hearing panel remedies that and ensures that there are sufficient controls. And we have tabled this morning, which you should have been provided copies worth of, the amendments Transpower is seeking. So yep. set out in red are those in Ms. McLeod's evidence. And at the back of those, there's some amendments in blue, which Transpower submits are necessary to give effect to the National Policy Statement. There's a point around also obviously the requirement to give effect to the Regional Policy Statement,
yeah.
which is now effectively operative, and there's quite a few policies there that no doubt you'll be familiar with around infrastructure, which Ms. McLeod will discuss further along with some methods. You've got an obligation to ensure that the proposed plan doesn't conflict with the National Environmental Standards for Electricity Transmission Activities, and Ms. McLeod will discuss a conflict that she's identified and why that's the case. So I will hand over to her, but we're obviously happy to answer any questions.
Yeah. We might just split it up. I found your submissions very clear and don't have any questions for you, so thank you for that. But I'll just check if anyone else on the panel has any questions from the legal submissions. Roy, any questions from the legal submissions?
No, I think you made it quite clear and easily read and understood, so thank you very much for that.
Yeah, not for me.
Edward? No. And Morris, any questions from the legal submission?
A question about Rule Y, the new proposed Rule Y, but I don't think that was
it's probably for planning evidence, I think.
Okay. Many thanks. I thought perhaps the best thing to do today would be to just walk through the proposed amendments that I've provided in this document today, and just talk through the rationale and highlight some of the elements of my evidence around those amendments. So,
yeah, you're welcome to do that, just bear in mind we have read the evidence.
Yeah. Certainly. So perhaps the first point is around the specific mention and description in the front end of the plan, mentioning the National Policy Statement and environmental standards as being relevant to the plan. The 42A report appears to have suggested that these documents aren't relevant, and I just wanted to highlight that from the point of the draft consultation prior to notification of the plan, Transpower has been quite clear mm-hmm. that they are relevant. Including maintenance, new activities, and particularly the third-party activities as well.
Yeah.
I also want to note that the national planning standards that have been introduced through amendments to the Resource Management Act, there's a mandatory requirement to include references to such documents in the first suite of national planning standards, so it's likely to be something the plan will need to do in the future.
Yeah.
So we can turn now perhaps to the suggested new objective and policy in relation to infrastructure. In the 42A report has effectively suggested that objective two of the proposed plan does the job, if you like, in terms of providing for infrastructure, but I remain quite concerned that that objective, talking about water and land being an enabler, doesn't really capture, I think, the essence of both the NPS and the policies that relate to infrastructure in the regional policy statement, and that includes particularly that protection element, the protection of infrastructure from other activities. And if I could perhaps draw your attention to not only those policies in the regional policy statement, but equally the methods that talk about what regional plans will do to give effect to the regional policy statement, and that includes including objectives, policies and methods. So I would suggest that perhaps the objectives and policies in the proposed plan have taken that a little too lightly, and I would suggest that when particularly looking at objective 10 that deals with Manapouri in particular, there might be a need for something more specific. And certainly you've heard from a number of submitters in that regard and transparent in the context of the further study. In my evidence, I deal with objective 13B, and I support amendments to that to allow significant effects to be remedied or mitigated, not just avoided. And in forming that opinion, once again, I reference the regional policy statement and objective CONTAM 2 that provides the option of remedy or mitigating, and my concern that avoiding is such a strong direction that doesn't really have that basis in the higher order documents. I have similar concern also in respect of policy 13, that the breadth of protection proposed there once again goes beyond what the RPS is suggesting protection should be. Similarly, policy 15. The Transport Agency has a submission suggesting that the avoidance required in clause 1 of that policy can't be achieved in all circumstances, and in fact has suggested that the policy fails to contemplate temporary circumstances, which affect both the Transport Agency and Transpower as linear infrastructure providers, where they cross streams and rivers and may in fact necessarily have to have discharges that can't achieve the avoidance suggested. And that's the basis, once again, for my support of amendments to that have been proposed by the Transport Agency. And I would suggest that those amendments are necessary to give effect to policies 1 and 2 of the National Policy Statement. We go to policy 29. The section 42A report has suggested that the policy talks about the effects on rivers, and that is broad enough to capture the potential effects on physical resources such as the national grid in that policy. I would suggest that's not probably the case, and I promoted an amendment to give some direct reference to the potential effects on the national grid of gravel extraction. And I think this is quite a real situation that has occurred across the country for Transpower, where the extraction of gravel has had has compromised the national grid in terms of both destabilising tower structures, but also preventing access to the towers and the conductors. So it's quite a serious issue, and I'd suggest that effects on rivers does not capture that potential effect, and certainly does not give effect to policy 10 of the NPS. on a very similar note, I have dealt with a number of rules in my evidence, including Rule 51 and Rule 59. And in both cases, once again, this goes to Policy 10 of the National Policy Statement, but equally, the method 15.4 INF.1C in the RPS and the policy INF.3 infrastructure protection of the RPS. These, I've promoted in my evidence amendments to the rules that particularly seek to protect the national grid from third party activities that may occur in the beds of lakes and rivers. The effect of these rules is to provide some level of separation that, in the case of these proposed amendments, mirrors the separation that would typically be imposed by the New Zealand Electrical Code of Practice for safe electrical clearances, or I'll give you the precise reference to that. Yeah. I can provide that afterwards. It's similar to, well, it is a similar framed rule where I've referred to that code of practice in the provisions that I've set out in blue at the end of this document. In terms of Rule 63A, this is the provision that I have some concerns about in terms of being more stringent than the National Environmental Standard for Electricity Transmission Activities, and I've provided you a copy of the Regulation 23. Regulation 23 sets out where signs, including navigation signs for navigation and signs identifying the national grid, are permitted activities, and where they may be restricted discretionary activities. In the case of proposed Rule 63A, the signs in favour of the national grid, if you like, are not provided for and would default to a discretionary activity status. What I've suggested is that that discretionary status would be more stringent than the National Environmental Standard, and therefore amendments are required. I've proposed some amendments that effectively mirror what is in the National Environmental Standard. The rules, including Rule XY and X1B, are duplicate rules to those that were provided in the original submission on which Transpower supported. Those rules were provided by Meridian, I believe.
Yeah.
And if I just now turn to the latter two pages, once again, These are amendments that aren't sought in the further submission, because there were no submissions on those provisions that would enable a further submission to be made. That said, in my opinion, these amendments are necessary, particularly to give effect to Policy 10 of the National Policy Statement. And without these amendments, it's my concern that Policy 10 is not achieved, and then the plan as a whole would fail to give effect to the National Policy Statement. And I can leave it there.
Thanks for that. I've just got a couple of questions before I hand it over to the rest of the panel. Is the National Grid a physical resource?
Yes.
Okay. Just looking at your evidence in paragraph 14.5. And you say there, I'm not really found it. Say there that Rule 54 is onerous when compared to similar provisions in other jurisdictions. And my question to you is, in what way is it more onerous?
So I'll just get the roll.
Yeah.
It's that's more onerous than a number of regional plans that I'm familiar with in terms of the volume of take that may be allowed for dewatering.
So is the concern restricted to dewatering activities?
Primarily, yes.
So if the rule was amended as other submitters have sought to include a specific provision for dewatering, I imagine that would address
it
concerns.
Would.
Yeah.
Okay.
And two more questions. You commented on Rule 63A. Can you just explain further why Rule 63A, and this is as recommended to us by the 42A report,
mm-hmm.
why little a, so Rule 63 capital A, first clause little a, which mm-hmm. is a permitted activity, what conditions within there would prevent that permitted activity applying to transpower structures or facilities?
I think it goes beyond being only for a navigational aid, and that and Regulation 23 of the National Environmental Standard allows the identification of those structures as well. So it's about safety as well as navigation, whereas this rule applies to navigation only.
All right. So the concern is not with the conditions, but its limitation to a navigational aid.
The concern is, in the most part, Transpower would defer to the National Environmental Standard, and what I'm suggesting is that it would be appropriate to align the rule to reflect those standards, so the same thing would be permitted.
Yeah, that wasn't my question though. So my question was, is the concern then the limitation of the rule to navigational aids? Do you wish to have different kind of signs on your structures? Or I'm just failing to understand the concern.
Yes, and it is.
So what sort of things would that be? What sort of signs would you want to have on there? Safety signs or water signs?
Transpower often will have signs on their structures to alert people to who owns the structure and to prevent climbing. And I think there's even in some cases clearance signs that are related to waterway clearances, navigational clearances.
Okay. And in terms of the material on the table document, thanks very much for providing that. Regardless of what we say in this plan, is there an obligation on people to comply with the New Zealand Electrical Code of Practice for electrical safe distances?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, okay. So nothing we would say in this plan would derogate from that?
No.
Okay.
But I guess that perhaps gives you some opportunity in terms of scope without prejudicing anybody in particular.
Or it might lead us to conclude that we don't need to do it because it's a legal obligation anyway.
Well, that's true, but it probably wouldn't reduce your obligation in terms of the policy approach that supports that. It just may be that your method is different.
If I may just add one point, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
I think the other concern is around usability of the plan. So what I understand from Transpower is that often, unless people are directed to these regulations, people aren't necessarily familiar with them. So it's actually quite useful. Generally, you know, if people are aware of their legal obligations, we don't want plans being cluttered with cross-references, but this might be one exception where it actually has a benefit to those end users. And we've heard today from submitters about the plans being clear.
Yep.
And I think that would aid that. But reiterate Ms. McLeod's comment that this also means no one's prejudiced because they had to comply anyway, but it just makes it very clear for people what those requirements are.
Yeah, I understand that. And we're well aware of the obligation we have to give effect to the various NPSs and the various NESs, notwithstanding the fact that some of them weren't referred to in the notified plan. So we're aware of the need to correct that. Now, just on terms of page 3 of the table document, It's not a question, but just make a comment that in terms of the Resource Management National Environmental Standards for Electricity Transmission Activities regs, just wanted to comment that that point is well made, and we've posed to the officers a similar question regarding the new NES on plantation forestry and whether we need a general exempt out provision similar to this for that NES as well. So this is an issue that we're well aware of and will respond to. All right, thank you. Let's see if we have any further questions. Morris?
Well, thank you. Just to come back to rule Y, a couple of things, probably my clarification as much as anything. This is about taking water and damming and diverting water for particular activities. And we have had similar submissions from some others in relation to road construction, for example. Mm-hmm. Point seven, they say the take is not from any river or part of a river that is subject to a conservation order. Are you aware of the implications of that in Southland? What rivers have conservation orders on them?
No, I'm not. This is a direct duplicate of the provisions that have been promoted by Meridian in their original submission.
Mm. Okay. And what happens if that can't be complied with, then it defaults to a discretionary activity?
That's correct. Mm.
All right, and that's already provided for in the plan.
The default to a discretionary activity.
Yeah. All right, that's good. So we have conservation orders on the Ariti and the Matara and the Matara rivers, which are two of our biggest rivers. So you might have to, we'll have to think about that as to whether that's practical or not.
From Transpower's perspective, it may be that there are no structures or likelihood of the need for a dam or diversion will take around the Matara River in particular. It doesn't have any structures in the bend of the river currently.
I think they probably do, but...
I think it traverses. I think that the conductors traverse, but there are no structures in the bend.
All right. Okay, thanks. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. No questions from me, thanks.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. And Lloyd?
Yeah, just the Ariti River does, though, doesn't it?
Have a structure in the bend. My advice from Transpower's engineers are that there are no structures in the bed of a river, but I appreciate their understanding might be in the water as opposed to in the bed in terms of the way in which
I should bring you up to my property, because one of the pylons
going
down the T-Y is partly in the bank and partly in the river.
There are certainly towers to T-Y that are in the coastal marine area. I'm more than aware of that.
Okay. I presume, going back to your 63A.2, there's a number of power lines around. I don't know whether they're yours, but have what I would classify as bubbles on them, I presume for flight passage or for light aircraft, so they know where they are and subject to airstrips.
Yes.
Are they yours? And would that fall under the safety parameter, which is different to what you indicated early on, was safety of a tower, but this is safety of power lines?
I'm not sure that that'd be a sign, but I guess you could consider them a navigational aid to some extent. I hadn't thought about aviation protection, if you like, being encompassed in this role. I'm not certain which line you're referring to, but it's not uncommon in places where there's a lot of small aircraft for Transpower to include some level of visibility aids on their lines.
Yeah, an example would be the Mosburn Lumsden Highway on the north side. There's actually a airstrip there with that three bubbles put across, just wondered whether under navigation and also under safety, whether the clause you recommended there in 63A would actually capture that.
Well, I don't know if it would, because at the moment 63A covers only those in the bed of a lake and a river.
Okay. And there was one other point that came up in your evidence, and I just wondered where it came from. It's under 14.3, 12 metres seems to come up from time to time in that example. Is that a generic number or is that for a specific reason, 12 metres?
The 12 metres is a number that Transpower have arrived at, and it's the extent of conductor swing for a 110 or a 220 kV line in everyday wind conditions.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And no further questions because I've already asked my questions, but thanks very much for the detailed submissions, legal submissions and the evidence, and also for clearly setting out the changes you'd like us to consider and setting into the plan. It's all very helpful.
Thank you very much for your time.
No, thank you.